Welcome to episode 260 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. This week, I'm turning the clock back a little to a time when I was again preparing to head off on another week-long camping trip for a magazine feature. Now, we all know that kit selection is a personal thing. What works for one person may not necessarily work for another, and as I've said many times, my own choices are constantly evolving and even open to last-minute alterations at the packing stage. So, let's just get straight into it on this occasion, shall we? Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 260. It is just before 11:30 on a Friday afternoon, and as I record this, I am a day away from heading off for 7 days to do a kind of a working holiday feature for a camping magazine. Now, of course, I've talked about this before. It's very typical for me, the considerations with camera kit and camping kit and all that sort of thing. But what I always try to do on an assignment-by-assignment basis and year-by-year, I try to tailor my kit, keep it as simple as possible. I try to think about what have I used, what I haven't used, what do I wish I'd taken, what could have been left back at base, all that sort of thing. So this is the... I've been dashing about. I've done similar sort of weekend features recently and walking features with basically a very similar setup. But what I thought I'd do on this occasion was just talk you through the kit that I will be taking, which will be essentially the stuff that will be going with me sort of every day when we head out and sort of go to sort of family activities and walking around towns or down to the beach, all that sort of thing. And it's, you know, there's nothing really, nothing really technical about it. There's nothing sort of special as such. What you find with professional image makers is that, and creative people and anyone that works with tools, we tend to use the same stuff day in, day out. So let's start, first of all, with the bag that I'm going to be taking. Now, a lot of you would probably think, initially, rightly so, that I would be taking a camera bag. Well, for me, that tends to be a backpack. If I take more kit that I need to lug around, like if I'm doing a solo trip and it's predominantly, if it's a day trip, so I don't have to take camping stuff for overnight, that will nearly always be some sort of a low-pro backpack, which is padded, has all the compartments, all the protection for, you know, multiple lenses, maybe two camera bodies, memory cards, spare batteries, all that sort of thing. But on this occasion, I am taking just a standard backpack. Now, this one is made by Van Gogh. It's part of their Force 10 series, and it's the Force 10 GR3540. Now, that 3540 stands for 35 to 40 litres. So you have expansion straps and compression straps there, which means that you get that extra 5 litres if you need it. And you have that extra space when you lift the lid up and that sort of thing. This is this bag is actually, at the time of recording, I've only had it for about a week and a bit. It went with me on a weekend camping trip in Hampshire. As I record this, it's a Friday, so it's basically this time last week. Just went for went on the Friday night, came back on the Sunday. Did really well. But like I say, with this test review stuff, those of you that have followed me for long enough will know, I don't just get stuff sent to me and say, oh, this is a great bag, you should use it, I think it's really nice. It has to be used, you know, in the line of duty. I have to actually use these items for their purpose, but in a way that suits me. I only ever look at kit that I would use in the course of my work. So I've got this one simple backpack. Now, when it comes to the protection of my kit, Within this, I have got a low-pro top-loading pouch, really padded. It's quite big, quite bulky. I kind of go between different pouches and bags for my cameras, depending on what I'm taking. But I am working on a one camera, one lens, stroke, two lens setup, and I'll elaborate a little bit more in a minute. So within the Force 10 backpack, there is the Lowepro Top Loader Pro 70AW2. Bit of a mouthful. But basically, that is for one camera body with one lens attached. It's got pockets on the sides and at the top, and you can mount it on your waist belt and on your backpack straps if you want, all that sort of thing. Within that, I have my Nikon D800. Yes, I do still use the D800. Attached to that is the Nikkor 24-70mm f2.8. You know, when I'm doing lighter weight solo trips and I have all my camping kit, often what I'll do is I'll just stick to prime lenses, and invariably at this moment I only tend to take one lens, the 35mm f1.8. I probably should and will get the 20mm. I sort of had that on review, tested it out for a while. It's a cracking lens, but you know, it's one of those things that, can I do without it at the moment? Yes, because you know, it's another expense, so that is a consideration. So for this trip, I've got the 24-70. I've taken the battery grip off the camera body just to cut down on bulk and weight. I don't need it. I don't need the functionality of that. If I need to do vertical shots, it's fine. We just go old school on it. We just turn the camera on its side and your elbow points up in the air a little bit. It's not, you know, it's not the case that I want to look good like a photographer just with the, you know, the stance of the vertical grip. You know, it's nothing like that. I don't care. All I'm worried about is getting the shots. So one camera, one lens, two batteries. Everything's going to be charged in advance. So one battery in the camera, one spare. I'm not taking a flash gun. I don't often use flash in these scenarios, but there is a pop-up flash on the top of the camera. I have to be careful that it doesn't kind of, cast a shadow from the lens, because it's quite a long lens. Got the lens hood attached to that. So like I say, one camera, one lens. I will actually be taking the Nikkor 35mm f1.8 as a backup. That tends to be my go-to lens when I'm traveling really light. It's a nice, small, light lens. But, you know, heaven forbid, if I dropped my camera, smashed or broke this lens in some way, I've got a backup in that lens. I've obviously got my iPhone, and I've spoken about this in the past. I have pictures published all the time that are shot on my iPhone. Don't ever let anyone tell you that you can't shoot publishable pictures on your iPhone. In the past, the cameras on phones were a little bit sketchy. The quality wasn't there. They are so good now. You know, professionals use iPhones all the time. I know of people that shoot weddings purely on iPhones. You know, it's a different approach, but it works. They're able to, the clients are happy that the quality is going to be there, and it's all good. But for me, I'm taking my DSLR, a couple of spare batteries and a couple of lenses. So I'm just going to pop that back in. It'll be coming out again in a minute, just because I've got to charge the batteries. I'm going to be taking some spare memory cards. And do you know what? I haven't got my main camera case out at the moment. So what I need to do is just bear with me. Got a memory card pack here. I use the Peli. People that make the roller cases, the hard cases, Peli. I have one of their memory card cases, which is, it keeps out the dust and moisture and everything. It's really good. So that will just have spare cards. I'm not taking, and this might surprise a lot of you, I'm not taking any form of backup, way to back up my images on this occasion. I don't take my laptop. What I do is shoot duplicates to a second memory card. So I will typically shoot to a compact flash card, but there will also be a duplicate copy of those files, usually in a JPEG rather than a RAW, onto an SD card in the camera. You know, everyone works differently. If I was on assignment, on location, and I had a base and it was secure, I would take my laptop, and every night I would back up, as I did recently when I was up in the Lake District shooting and filming. But the name of the game here is just sort of traveling light, traveling, you know, simply. And I, you know, I don't want to have to worry about leaving stuff in the tent all day, or in the car at the beach, or in a car park. You know, there are always a number of factors involved, and you just have to find the compromise that you're happy with. I do need to look into checking out solutions for backing up in the field. There are plenty out there. I just don't have anything in place at the moment, because I haven't needed to, because I've always been able to back up when I'm back at a hotel or back at the, you know, base camp with a tent, all that sort of thing. So, got my camera and lens set up there. I've got my Nikon charger for the batteries. So, yeah, I'm going to be backing stuff up as and when I can. I think where we're going, it's a kind of like a forest campsite. There aren't electric hookups. Now, when I'm on my own, when my wife and I used to camp, when it was just the two of us, we didn't worry about electric hookups. If you're paying for it, obviously it costs extra, but that you can get around it. You know, if we find ourselves in town in a cafe or something, you know, these places are really, you know, because everyone's so connected now, they expect people to have their phones and laptops and whatever. You can just say to them, look, you know, we're going to buy some lunch, going to buy some snacks, some coffees, whatever. Is it okay if I plug my whatever in over there to charge it up? And most places are absolutely fine, so I will take my charger, but I doubt I will be I won't be charging it on site, unless there is somewhere like, you know, I think they've got laundry facilities, so say we needed to do that, I could, or washing up facilities, whilst I'm, you know, waiting for stuff to be done, I could sit there with a book, read, or do some writing. I'll tell you about that in a moment. And stuff could be charging. So there are ways around that. Now, that leads me on nicely to how I will be charging stuff when I'm able to. I have with me, we have a number of ways to charge our phone. We have those couple of those portable battery packs. So we have one which will charge, it will do 2 full iPhone charges. And we can always recharge those in the car on the way when we're out and about. Most of where we're going on this occasion, it's in Kent. And the furthest place we're going to be travelling is within about 45-minute drive. So that's long enough to top up your phone, that sort of thing, or to recharge these battery packs. So I have one which does 1 full charge. It goes with me everywhere, just as an emergency thing. we'll be taking my wife's one, which is actually does 2. I'm looking to get another one for myself, so that when I'm on 1 or 2 night trips throughout the summer, it has up to 6 full charges. However, what I do have, and you regular listeners will know, I've talked about this in the past, I have here a Power Traveller Power Monkey Extreme solar charger. Now, the way that this works, you have the solar panel that straps to the outside of your backpack or whatever it is that you're you're carrying. It could be a handbag even. You can strap it or lean it up against the outside of your tent. You know, it is solar, so there are considerations with that. You know, the weather is looking a bit questionable over some of the week. It's going to be, I think there's thunder and lightning on the way at some point. It's going to be a little bit intermittent with the sunshine, but that will be going. That allows me to charge. It has the solar panels and it has a battery pack. So what you do, you don't actually charge the phone direct. You use the sun to charge up the battery pack, and then you can plug your phone later into that. And typically we do that in the evening, so we're all set up for the next day, just like I would do when I'm at home. So that's in its own pouch, and it's got the charger cable. Of course, you need the cable that goes with the that's relevant to your phone. So I've got just a standard iPhone cable, but I have the like a typical mains socket plug, which is detachable because it's a USB style. That is going with me as well. What else do I have? So that's kind of camera and charging taken care of. Obviously, when you're camping, you need to have lighting. We have our sort of family camping lighting, sort of lanterns, all that sort of thing. But of course, always take a couple of head torches. I even when I'm doing solo, I always have my main head torch and a backup. So I have my Petzl Nao. Or now, some people call it NAO, the original model. Really good, really bright. It doesn't have that night light feature, that the red light. I do have, let me see, I do have a homemade kind of filter for that. Whether I'll bother, I don't think I will, because I'm not going to be, it is kind of attached, I'll be honest, it's attached with sort of electrical tape, and it's just a bit of like a red sweet wrapper or something like that, or an old flash gel or something. You know, I only use it to go to the toilet block usually. And if I see a really nice kind of nighttime shot, I'll use this to kind of do some light painting on some trees or a building or whatever it might be. So I've got that one. I've also got kind of a cheap and cheerful, buy it at your local Wilco's or Robert Dias or supermarket, Energizer torch. It has, you know, a number of features, including a pivoting head. It has red light on there. You know, I take that as a spare. I have had to use that in the past when I've been on location. My good friend Alex Staniforth, when we did our trip, I always remember it's about 11 o'clock at night, going up a, you know, sort of knee or calf deep at that point. Snow in Snowdonia, trying to pitch our tent late at night. Because I'd been using that Petzl torch on full beam, it just ran out of power because I'd used it quite a bit and hadn't been able to charge it. So then I didn't panic, didn't worry, I used my backup. That's my lighting consideration. In terms of the kit for actually doing my article, it's going to be about a 6-page article, so it's quite a bit to think about. I like a traditional notebook, and if you follow me on Instagram, you will have seen either in my stories or in the pictures I share, the notebook that I currently use. I have a whole stack of them. It's one with trees on the front, and it says, "Let's go on an adventure." It's very typical what you might imagine. There's nothing to say. It's just a notebook, a lines notebook. It's all battered and bruised, but I like it. It tells a story. But as I go about day to day, either when I stop for a coffee, I'll sit and make some notes about what we've been up to that morning, or in the evening, we'll sit there with a glass of wine or a cup of tea or whatever, just making some notes. Because, you know, 7 days down the line, I won't remember everything, all the little details, things that I need to make a note of about, you know, special considerations, what, you know, is worth including in the article about the attractions that we go to or the towns or the places we visit. So I've got that. A couple of pens. The pens are those that have four different colours. I don't tend to switch the colours around, but if, you know, I'll be honest, I tend to use blue ink. I'm not a big fan of black ink. I'll use it if that's all there is, but if the blue ran out, then there are other ways. So save taking lots of, you know, a number of spare pens. That's a way round. It keeps the weight and you know, sort of space used to a minimum. Now, like I said, I'm not taking my laptop. The notebook is only there for notes about the trip as I go along. I'm not going to be writing the article as I go. I like to sit there after the event, once I'm back at base, and sit in my office, and I can put all the pictures up on my big screen. I can look at my notes. I can look at any brochures and leaflets that I've picked up, and it all comes together. But what I will be taking is a Bluetooth keyboard for my phone, so that if I do get half an hour to myself and I'm thinking, oh, I've just thought of an idea for an article, I'm going to write the pitch whilst it's fresh on my mind. Or if I think of a blog post that I want to do and I'm feeling particularly inspired and I have that few minutes, 10 minutes maybe, that's there. I can write it straight onto my phone to Evernote or into the notes section, or there are other ways that we can do it. And then I don't have to duplicate, I don't have to sit down and transfer my handwritten notes to a keyboard to the computer. So that's going to be going with me, completely wireless because it's Bluetooth, works really well. Those of you that want to know, obviously there'll be links in the show notes to all of this. This was just nice, cheap and cheerful. I think it was off of Amazon. It was a recommendation from a fellow outdoor writer and photographer. This one is branded as, although they all look pretty much the same, this one is branded, I think, as Batop, B-A-T-T-O-P. And you just unfold it. It's a three section. You unfold it. You know, standard keyboard, actually, with a flat down little ledge there for your phone to sit up against. It has a button there for caps, so you can just write in capitals if you want. Connectivity, it shows you the charge, the power levels. You know, it works really, really well. So that will be coming, just in case I do get those moments, which are somewhat far and few and far between, but, you know, good to have. Then the final thing that I'm thinking of for my day-to-day walk-around kit is, if I need it, and it might end up staying in the car, I've got a portable tripod. Now, my go-to these days is an item which I did have originally as a test review. And, you know, this is the thing about test review items. If I use them and I find that they work really well, I'm not going to just bung them on eBay, try and make a few quid. I do actually continue to use them. I don't get paid to be using them. I don't get paid to put them in my Instagram feed or anything like that. But a case in point is the Manfrotto B-Free Carbon. Now, a lot of you will know I have used Manfrotto for about 25 years. You know, my first proper tripod, i.e. one that wasn't cheap and cheerful that soon fell apart because it was cheap and cheerful, my first proper one was a Manfrotto, a 055B. I call it my scaffolding tripod because it's heavy, big tubular legs. Nothing has ever gone wrong on it. Hand on heart, the only thing that's ever needed is a bit of tightening on one of the nuts on one of the legs, but it's gone in rivers and the sea and sand and mud, and it, you know, it's brilliant. But it's too big, bulky and heavy. On this occasion, I tend to use it when I need the extra weight to weight down the tripod on certain shoots. I might even still end up putting a sandbag hung up underneath that. So on this occasion, I've got the Manfrotto B-Free Carbon, and I'm just going to screw onto the top of that. Oops, hang on a second. There we go. I have the ball and socket head that I'm screwing on the top of this. The reason I'm just attaching that is that the last time I used this was a couple of weeks ago when I was up in the Lake District, and because I was producing a film, I use Manfrotto's video head that is specifically designed for this tripod. Nice fluid head. But you have to match the kit to the job at hand. I don't need the lovely smooth panning action or pan and tilt action of a video head, because that's not what I'm going to be doing. So I'm going to just fold everything down. This one actually kind of reverts on itself. You kind of, if you've ever seen these, you basically fold the legs backwards. Oops. And it just packs away nice and small. There we go. And just tighten it up so it doesn't flop around. There we go. And I have the Manfrotto bag that it comes in. You know, keeps the dust and dirt off it. It keeps it all together. And I'm not going to be using it a lot. I may not even use this. This is one of the few items that I take knowing that I quite possibly won't be using it. So that's there. Just on tripods, I've also got a Manfrotto kind of Pixie mini tripod. It's kind of one of the newer designs. With as it is at the moment, it has attached to it a cheap and cheerful 99p off eBay adapter for your phone. because I'll be doing a lot of Instagram stuff. I might do some time lapse when I'm out and about. It's overkill to have that bigger tripod just for a phone on this occasion. This is essentially a little tabletop tripod. I can set it up on a bench or on a table when we're having lunch. And if there's, you know, say there was we're down by the water and there's ducks moving around, it's a fun little thing, or the clouds going by, or whatever it might be. That will just simply go in the top of the backpack. The bigger tripod, if I take it out and about, will go down the side. The only other things that go with me is I always, especially in the summer, always take water with me. We'll take probably about, between us, we'll have something like 2 litres of water. We'll be stopping to get drinks at the attractions and when we're out and about. But always good to have that water. Like I say, weather is going to be potentially iffy. So I've got a lightweight, packable raincoat. This one I think I'll probably take is a low alpine one. And the only other thing is I have my little Lowepro pouch here, which came from one of their older bags, the Rover Pro. You might remember I had that on review a number of years ago now. That had detachable pouches. And one of them is a small like accessory pouch. And that just now is always used just for my audio kit. So I have the audio recorder, which is an Edirol RO9HR, so what I'm using to record this. I have the Ti clip microphone, so I can do hands-free like I'm doing at the moment. In here I have a box with 8 spare AA batteries. That's purely, I don't use them for anything else other than my audio recorder. Got a little box there with business cards. At the moment, I've got my old iPod Touch. I won't be taking that, but it kind of lives in here day to day. I've got some headphones, so if I want to listen back to my audio, it also means if I think, do you know what, I've got some downtime, I'm going to listen back to it and just make the show notes for this podcast recording and save it to Evernote or wherever, then I can do that. I've got a spare Ti-Clip microphone, which is an old Sony one, and that's it. That basically, it may sound a lot, but it really isn't. So essentially everything that I could need each day that I'm out and about for 7 days is all carried in a 35 litre backpack, or 40 litre if you include that little extra bit. You know, I'll probably put my fleece in there if it's a hot day. What else? Maybe some snacks or something. But in terms of the kit I use for the photography, the writing, that's all it is, you know, and I'll probably end up doing a blog post about this as well, so you can actually see these items. You know, that sort of post is popular. People can, rather than me just talking about it and sharing the links in the show notes, which I will do, you can also then see the actual items. And, you know, that'll also appear in Instagram. So, just a very quick little rundown of the basic kit that I use. As it stands right now, this week, I am on deadline for Camping Magazine. I have 2 articles to submit before I go away. One, which was about that weekend camping trip, that is completed. I just need to just kind of glance over it one more time, sort out the pictures. Well, the pictures are all edited. Just make sure I'm happy with the selection and the captions. Upload those, and then that's done. The other one is a kind of a technique. It's a guide to knots, suggestions of knots which are useful for people when they're camping, or you know, it could relate to if you're an outdoors photographer. You know, a lot of them I use all the time, whether I'm sort of camping, whether I'm out taking pictures, if the need is there. I'm trying to do all these things before I crack on with that second article. It's only a small one. It's like a one page article, that one, nice and quick, which is perfect for today because I haven't got a lot of time. And as I look at it, I mean, we're coming up to midday. I have to knock things on the head at about five o'clock. Got to pick my wife up from work. We are then actually going to go and see Bill Bailey doing one of his routines locally, which is really good. So we've got this final big push for work. I've got all the other work stuff to do, thinking about emails and contacting people and tying up loose ends for the trip and all this sort of thing. Then we're going to have a night out, have a few drinks, watch Bill Bailey. Then tomorrow morning, we're all heading off. Now, by the time you listen to this, we'll be back. The article will be well underway. It may even be almost ready for submission. It depends upon when this actually, you know, when I schedule this up to go live. So there we go. Bit of a quick rundown because it's, you know, it's a quick... I'm rushing around like a, well, you know what, this morning. So if you've got any questions, as ever, anything that I've talked about, any kit, any considerations, any recommendations I might have that you've been thinking about, anything like that, you know, I'm always, always open to anything like that. If you have any questions, any concerns, do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there. I'd be interested to hear what kit substitutions you would have made on this occasion, so please feel free to let me know. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.